हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 16. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes nectar from the lips of Lord Sri Krishna. Okay, then, eagerness. Verses 1 to 64, the eagerness of Kalidas. Right. 316, 1 through 7. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personally tasted the nectar of ecstatic love for Krishna, and then instructed his devotees how to taste it. Thus he enlightened them about ecstatic love of Krishna to initiate them into transcendental knowledge. Right, so here it's that he instructed them how to taste it. He didn't instruct them what the taste is. That's an important point. You know, it's how you can taste. By following this process, by absorbing yourself in Krishna, by the attitude, these things like that. So, does that make sense? Because results come from action, right? And that action gives results depending upon the mentality and qualities. It's not so dependent upon, means it has its natural knowledge and form, but that's not actually the main thing, right? So in other words, the taste that is gained in that service to Krishna is the primary. The mentality in which you've done that and doing that in a proper, devotional activity, that's then supportive of that. And supportive of that is the knowledge, proper situation, and everything. Right? Here in the church, we always reverse it. Is that if you have the proper situation and all that and knowledge, we take it for granted you already have the. Otherwise, how does advertisement work? Right? So we look at it that way, but we see from the other, it's the opposite. It starts from Krishna's desire, us working as a instrument in that, and then it has the place. Like you see, is that there's in the Bhagavad Gita, the 5 points of action, like that. So then the first one will be, the person, the situation, the knowledge, like that. Then you're going to have the endeavor, and then you're going to have daiva. So we're always going to look at it, I arrange all these things, then I have to arrange, then I do something, and then I get the result. But the point is, the result's dependent on daiva, on the Lord. So actually, depending on Krishna's desire, therefore we make our endeavor in the situation with knowledge and the proper instruments. Does that make sense? So that's the descending process. So it's a different approach, a different mentality. Because of that, it's not about I'm the doer. Because it's like, I have the situation, I have this, I have the qualifications for it, I have the knowledge for it, the skill, I have the experience. I have all the instrument is right. So therefore I can do this. So it's nice that confidence is there. Confidence meaning confidence that it's something doable, and that you fit into, you have a relationship and all that. So that's better than the negative self-centeredness that, oh, I can, I'm so useless, I'm so this, that, because it's actually a self-centered thing. Right? So you bring it up to a confidence you can do, but then thinking I'm the doer, that's where it falls apart. Right? So that's the thing, that balance in between. It's rare that you have it where the self-centered from I can't do it to self-centered I am the doer. So now and again you get those moments and people take that as something very special. It was natural, it was very fresh, it was this, it was that. It just happened in between. And then as soon as the guy thinks I can do it, then the other side comes and it loses interest. You know, does that make sense? So that point is, if you're using this ascending, it's very rare. But if you're using it's about Krishna, then where is the point that it's a process and has been given by the Lord, given by the others, they followed it, it works, so therefore you know it does, so you won't have the self-centered from I can't do. And it's not that, and because it's Krishna's potency and it's recommended by others, it's not that I am the doer. Right? And so then you can use these things. But this thing, but this emphasis of the present day of on making all the things right, that's good if you're thinking that, okay, we're doing service for Krishna, or pleasing Krishna, we could improve the quality of the service by improving these things. It just means it becomes more refined. But we have to understand it's pleasing Krishna through devotion, because all those refined things are already Him. And what we're dealing with is not that great. We have to remember that even you have a fancy car, it's still a tin can with rubber wheels. That's what it is. You know, you bump into something and the emergency crew comes there, they come with cutters and open it like a tin can. You know, to get people out. So that's the thing, is that we take it, it's great, and the heavenly planets, they go around in swans. You know, that's just by, you want to go here, you go there. But, you know, it's temporary that you have that. In the spiritual world, they have it, and eternally, when it talks about the residents of Vaikuntha, they fly to the, you know, to the Vaikunthapati's palace in their swan airplane with their consort. You know, that would be a daily affair, that they're doing that and then going and rendering their service to the Lord. You know, so it's like what you're dealing with is not that great. So you can't become proud and think, oh, this is what's going to really please. No, it's the attitude is pleased. So if you're thinking that we're doing this nice, I can improve the quality of my service as an instrument by learning better, understanding and dealing better with the quality of what I'm working with, then that makes it good. But if you think it's no, that is what actually creates the satisfaction and all that, then we've made a mistake. Yes.
The point that you are making makes me think of, you know, in Maruya Kadambini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions that there are two things that always remain from the stage. Beginning stage, rather, all the way to Prem, and that's faith and sadhu sangha.
Mm, yes.
So I can I understand that faith is actually when you put Krishna first,
mm-hmm.
and sadhu sangha means that you can't. I mean, you could, but really, devotees who want to try to do things on their own, because they think I can do it. I have the ability. Mm-hmm. I have the ambition. And I'm going to do this mm-hmm. regardless of what everybody else is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't work. You have to do it with blessings.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it with support.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do it with the devotees.
Yes, yes.
Then it's successful.
Yes.
So I say that because I'm dealing with people who really want to shape the world on their own, regardless of what the rest of the yatra are thinking.
Mm.
You know, it's
not. Yeah, no, it has to be, because sadhu sangha is the cause of everything. I mean, even that faith comes from association with
yes.
sadhus.
Yes.
And prema comes from association of sadhus.
Yes.
And then that prema, that rasa, will be tasted in the association of sadhus. It's not going to be you and Krishna. It's never going to be you and Krishna. Because
yes.
if we were saying it's just going to be you and Krishna, is there a time where it's just Radha and Krishna and nobody else?
Or even you and Guru alone.
Yeah, yeah. So it's always, you're always with, because Radhika are always with their associates. That's one of the four qualities of Krishna. Right? Super soul in the manifest position, it's just him. Right? So as Paramatma, it's just him. As Bhagavan, then he has his palace there in the Karana Ocean. And, you know, it's like he comes there, there's the big steps, he comes down the steps, welcomes Krishna and Arjuna, he has all the servants come out and everything like that. That's his Bhagavan. But as Paramatma, it's just him lying there in the causal ocean. You know? So that aspect of always being surrounded by devotees, so it's something that it's worth getting used to quite early. Because it's something that's eternal going to be there. Like that, I would also refine the presentation a touch. In that, the principle of what you're saying is completely that is the point. Is you're not going to, without the blessings of the Vaishnavas, that you're not going to get anywhere. So that is there. So if you think I can do this, no one else knows, and this and that, nobody like this, that's the problem. Because then how are you going to do, how big of a thing can you do yourself? You always have to. These guys that are billionaires, it's not that they're doing that alone. They're not sitting on a corner, you know, flogging something and then, you know, making billions or something. You know, they're you know, selling, peanuts or something, and then, you know. That means that they're working with huge amounts of people. That's why it works. The bigger it is, the more people involved. So you're dealing with prema, it's got to be big. Right? At the same time, you do have the exceptional situations like we see with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, where they have that faith and they have the association of the instruction of the acharyas. But others don't have faith in those instructions or take them lightly. And so they on their own are going, but it's still with the blessings of the Vaishnavas and that. It just may not be those who are present around you.
Yes.
So, but if everybody around you is on board, they're following Prabhupada, they're trying to do, and then thinking I can do without them, that's going to be a weak position. It's not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is that nobody else and everybody is in Maya and all that, and then yes, you could do. Of course, you could always in your own mind say everyone's in Maya, so it doesn't matter. But the point is like you're saying, without the blessings of Vaishnavas, it won't happen. Because Krishna, your relationship with Krishna is through the devotees. It means you don't have a direct relationship. It's just like your finger, right? Your finger. You can say, your finger, you know, you have a direct relationship, but you don't. Right? It means your fingers, you know, how you say, you know, it's like according to the song, you know, the finger bones connect to the, you know, hand bone, connect to the wrist bone, connect to the arm, you know, you go like that, and that way it's connected. So from that, then you interact directly. But the connection is through. You know, for Krishna, he's one entity. So then for him, it is. But for us, it's through. So without the Vaishnavas, how are we going to relate? How are we going to be close? So that aspect is here, is that he personally tasted this, and then he's showing the Vaishnavas, and then, because it's so wonderful, you're making it available to the general public. So that's how the Sankirtan movement, it descends down there. So, in other words, the tasting is the point. Yeah, they're there, Krishna Lord Chaitanya's taking in his associate, and then they're distributing that. So that's what it says. Lord Chaitanya broke into the storehouse of love of God, and after tasting it, and he with his associates, he distributed it freely. It said that it's that order. It's not that, you know, Lord Chaitanya, you know, with throngs of, you know, the general public stormed the, storehouse of love of God, and, you know, with all of them there, then, you know, just like on Bastille Day, then, you know, they brought down the doors of, you know, the tyranny that was keeping everybody from, you know, tasting the nectar and like this.
And called the security guards.
Yeah, yeah, like that. And it was a big fight that we outnumbered them, you know, like that. You know, many were lost, but you know, we persevered. Yeah, you know, so yeah. So that aspect is very, very important. You know, so it has this both aspect. It's coming down because it starts from Krishna. It doesn't start from us. So the samasti aspect of it's Krishna, the universal aspect of the universal. Then is Bhagavan of Bhagavan, the two-headed form of Krishna and Vrindavan. Starts there. Then it comes down, and then there's us. So then we bring our Vyasti view in line with. It's not that we create, you know, what is it? We control the horizontal, we control the vertical. You know that one? No?
Yeah, in USSR, they had a slogan that nothing would be there if not for me. In Russian it sounds really...
poetic.
Yeah, really poetic, but that was the idea.
If not,
it's very political, it's highly political.
Yeah, yeah.
But if not for me... then nothing would be there. I mean, aham sarvasya prabhu.
Yeah, yeah. But actually, it's Buddhism because it's, you know, because it's there anyway. Because, I mean, whatever it is, you know, that gentleman in that like little mausoleum, he's dead as a doornail. You know, it's like that, and everything's still going on. You know,
yeah.
They're all dead, right?
Yeah. Now everybody's dead.
Well, they did also die.
Hmm?
Whatever they did,
he also died. Yeah.
Communism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there is no actual communism going. I think that they try a little bit in Cuba, but it's not really working out. You know, it's not really serious. So the
Vyasti Samasti.
Yes. So that has to be understood. This Vyasti Samasti is when we bring the Vyasta, ourselves, our view and everything in line with Krishna's, then it works. So it has that dual aspect because it's individual. You know, everyone's an individual. So that's there, but we have to understand this. Krishna's individuality includes everything. Our individuality is ourself. Krishna, he is an individual, knows all individuals. We as an individual know ourselves. That's it. It doesn't extend beyond that. So that way then cooperating with the other individuals on, you know, connected with Krishna, then now it works in Krishna's way. But it's there. If he just wills it like that and it happens, then it'll be very mechanical. But if it's happening... because of the individual's commitment to it, then it becomes very dynamic. So therefore the samasti and the vyasti, then they interact. So therefore you do have the looking at it this way and looking at it that way. You always have that, because it's always, oh no, but it's confusing which it is. But they both work. You have to know which one's vyasti, which one's samasti. You know, which one's individual, which one's universal. Because otherwise you say, oh, they're conflicting views. They're not. When the individual brings their consciousness in line with the Supreme Consciousness and works cooperatively, then it's dynamic. That's the thing. So in that we have to see is, because Krishna is everything, it's not because I've arranged a nice situation, therefore now it's going to happen. The situation is already Krishna. So it depends upon all situations, or everything is already Krishna. Then it depends upon my consciousness, the qualities used, and my endeavor. And using that knowledge practically, that results can be obtained. You know, so it's not fully dependent on the situation. You know, that's supportive of how it would be used. But still, that energy to do, that knowledge to do those things, that qualities that are there, even ourselves, that's still coming from Krishna. So his will is the primary element. And then understanding that through the devotees, so then it works. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personally tasted the nectar of ecstatic love for Krishna, and then instructed his devotees how to taste it. Thus he enlightened them about ecstatic love of Krishna to initiate them into transcendental knowledge. Right, so by understanding what the goal is and everything, then you're able to be brought into transcendental knowledge. Yes?
Instructed in this context would be he just showed them how he tasted and then...
There's that aspect, but then also is all the instructions. Like you see, is that it doesn't necessarily mean it means right at this moment, but he's just talking about Lord Chaitanya's tasting. So whatever it is, all of these pastimes. But he instructed the Goswamis and all this and that. You know, his associates, they're always discussing, you know, even when we're discussing with Asur Damanand Ramananda Rai in the previous chapter, but he's in his discussions there, it's actually instructions for us.
Mm.
It's taste for him, but for us it's instructions, because, you know, we listen, oh, how nice, you know. You know, it will be more, you say these things, means the words themselves of what's being said, you know, it's nice, but when you go, oh, this is a verse of Gita Govinda or Govinda Lila Amrita, then you go, oh, wow, that's elevated. We don't know it's elevated. If you put all these things mixed in with all other verses, we wouldn't know what's what.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, so therefore it's not that we're tasting, and hence the other point of the Gopi Bhava Club, is that they're taking it, oh, this is there, therefore if we read that, we'll be on that level. You know, that's like, you know, a bunch of third graders sitting around and reading, you know, their elder brother's, you know, how you say, undergraduate books, and then thinking now they're greatly knowledgeable or something. You know, they don't understand what's there. They may be able to say the words, but, you know, they don't.
They do, actually.
Hmm?
Some of them do.
That's another thing.
They read, I'm saying.
Oh, they read, yeah, but it's not that they understand it. But they'll think that, yeah, see, we're better than the others because we read this stuff and all that. So.
They really have a feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the first part of first stage in Anartha Nivriti is that what do you call it? The Utsamayi, right? That great enthusiasm. You know, it's like the kid doesn't know anything. He's just a kid like that. You can convince him to go to school. He goes to school. He learns ABC. He comes home. He's a big scholar, right? You know, in his mind, he's a great scholar now. You know, like that. His mother encourages him. Everyone encourages him because it's nice. He's learned that and all that. And then gradually, he figures out there's a lot more to learn than, you know, another, 23 letters. You know, so... It is, but it has to be understood as they're taking it. Oh, we're so advanced. No, it's just there. It's part of the process, you know. Because then you see the next thing is so enthusiastic. But the next time, are they that enthusiastic? You know. So then that brings you to what is it? The thick thin. You know where it means.
Ganatara.
Yeah, like that. Then it brings to the point where, you know, you get confused. Yeah, so then it's, well, you know, if we do like this and like that and like that. So before it was like that, now you blame it on others. Well, this one says this and that one says that. What are we supposed to do? So then I'll just pick the one I want to pick anyway. Rather than go, you know, oh, it's this or is it that. I got to pick one, but then it falls on me. But if it's others' fault, then if I picked it, then I can blame them if it doesn't work. You know, I knew I should have picked the other one. No, you didn't. So then it goes, then it's war with Maya. You know, but I think war with Maya, that was like officially, stated to not be used, that context of the war scenario in the 90s, you know, because most everybody sitting on that committee were, you know, pacifists from the 60s and tried to avoid the Vietnam War. So therefore, then they think they're doing a grand thing by that.
Why do they?
Old habits die hard. I mean, they're still talking equality, this, that. The generation before doesn't talk that. Now, did you ever hear Brahmananda Prabhu, Satsuru, Bhavananda, Umapati Maharaj, Kirtananda ever talk these things? No. They were the generation before. They don't care about this stuff. This is a baby boomer, you know, issue. You know, so I mean, you know, old habits die hard. So, you know, it means everything else is gone, and they just have these few little things left. You know, it's just a matter of then one day, whoop, they go, and then everybody's okay. You know. So that's how you tell how deep it is. Because other things have gone. They're dedicated, they're doing so much, but this little bit stays. Then you know that one's really deep. So that's why they were born at that time. Guys that didn't have that, they were born before that, after that, couldn't care less. You know, so that's the thing is we're taking it, the situational is the main thing. Unless we have this, we can't move forward. No, unless you are committed to Sarva Dharma Pratyaja, just trying to please Krishna, following the footsteps of the devotees, using, you know, body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. Right? I mean, that's what the 18th chapter is telling us. Right? That will get us something. Then we have the techniques that are given, and then the specific knowledge and situations. Like that means you want to cook, you cook in a kitchen. It's ideal, but an expert cook can cook outside. You know, just put a few rocks together, build a fire, pick up some wood, and they can cook. But someone who's not that good can't cook. Right? And that's with some pots and pans, but then if they're really, they can cook without pots and pans. Sanatana Goswami every day when he cooked, no pots and pans, he cooked his chapati things or the little balls. I think they call them, in North they call them bati. Yeah.
No salt.
No salt. Yeah, and also no ghee. Marwaris, when they make the batis, you know, you roast them nicely, and when they're done, as soon as they're done, they're boiling hot. Like that, they have a pot, literally a pot of ghee. And they just drop it inside, you know. And when it stops floating, then they pull it out. Because if it floats, it means it hasn't soaked up ghee. But when it's, you know, it drops down a bit, then ghee's gone, then they take it out. Now it's ready for serving. So, yeah, that's why Madan Mohan...
I mean...
Some ghee, you know, like that on these bhatis, and then at least some salt.
It's not only that. He got the temple built because of a salt merchant. And yet, Madan Mohan doesn't get salt.
Doesn't get salt, yeah, yeah.
At least he could give him a bag. A spare bag.
Yeah, yeah. There's limits. Charity has limits. You know.
I think this pastor was before, and then later he got that.
Yeah.
Later the merchant came and
gave him. Yeah, later the merchant.
Okay, yeah, that is just joking on the salt part, yeah.
And the Biharis are the one who... Biharis are the one who don't apply ghee, Maharaj.
They just... It's like that. I mean, it means, if you're talking, it means in Treta Yuga, Bihar was glorious. It's an Ayodhya, right? You know? It's gone downhill since then. Yeah, Mathura is always revered. Okay, so. Yes, you see, thus he enlightened them about that. So he then shows them, thus he enlightened them about it and initiated them into it. So you see, is that how he tasted in the association of devotees, and then that was given to others so that they could then be initiated into it and move up. So you see right there in those sentences, that whole thing of the samasti and vyasti, how they work, how it works together. It's a natural flow. You know, by grace of Krishna, one gets guru. By grace of guru, one gets Krishna. You know. So it works together. It's not contradictory. So, yeah. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus stayed at Jagannath Puri in the association of his devotees. Always merged in ecstatic devotional love. The next year, as usual, all the devotees from Bengal went to Jagannath Puri, and, as in previous years, there was a meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees. Along with the devotees from Bengal came a gentleman named Kalidasa. He never uttered anything but the holy name of Krishna. Kalidasa was a very advanced devotee, yet he was simple and liberal. He would chant the holy name of Krishna while performing all his ordinary dealings. When he used to throw dice and jest, he would chant Hare Krishna while throwing the dice.
That's the liberal part.
Hmm?
That's the liberal part.
Very accommodating. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur warns the men of this age not to imitate the jesting of a Mahabhagavat like Kalidasa. If someone imitates him by playing with dice or gambling while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he will certainly become a victim of offenses unto the holy name. As it is said, Hari Nama Bale Papa Pravritti. One must not commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. Playing with dice is certainly gambling, but it is certain, clearly said here, that Kalidas did this only in jest. A Mahabhagavat can do anything, but he never forgets the basic principles. Therefore it is said, Tara Bhakya Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Na Bhujai. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 23:39. No one can understand the activities of a pure devotee. We should not imitate Kalidas.
So there's a clear difference between nobody can understand the activities of a pure devotee as opposed to nobody can understand the activities of a devotee.
Yeah.
Because one has a license, the other doesn't.
Yeah, so the point is they're always connecting everything to Krishna. And the other, as a sadhaka, you may be connecting or may not be connecting. But if one is sincere, one is making that attempt to do that. And so for the pure devotees, then they may not be necessarily so developed or advanced or have so much knowledge, but they sincerely only want to do things to please Krishna, though what they're doing may not be actually appropriate or proper or... You know, it's like the devotees used to go to the cemetery and steal flowers off the graves to bring back to the temple, you know, like that. So they're looking at it, free flowers, and just saying, what do we do? How do you say? Flowers on a dead body, you know, like that kind of, what do you call it?
Allegory.
Yeah, the allegory of ornaments on a dead body. So it said, waste your time, we'll use them for Krishna. And so for some time that went. Because that enthusiasm, that mentality was there, that pure mentality. But at one point, then you see it just suddenly is stopped. Because at that time, they think it's just normal. So we can just go out, take anything we want, because we're doing things for Krishna. So it becomes about, we're the special ones. You know, devotional service is there, but we also become special, and so therefore I can do whatever I want. And so then at that point, Prabhupada stopped. So you see so many times there's things going on that just aren't standard. But then at some point they stop because the mentality, it's not that it would, continue. You know, it's not a standard, but at some point you have to move up to be prepared for, you know, initiation and advancing. Like Prabhupada said, is that in the beginning he made no restriction on anybody. But anybody who showed interest in wanting to get initiated, move forward, then now they start the restrictions. Right? It means because you have to, because unless you regulate, how do you move forward? You can't do anything, even business, unless it's regulated. How do you do business? You know, if there's not regulation, governance doesn't work. If there's not regulation, education doesn't work. If you're not regulation, the arts don't work. You know, if you just practice now and again, whenever you feel and this and that, you'll never become a great musician. So it's the guys that every day, day in, day out, they do. They're the ones that are. So, you know, so that's the whole thing, is that it's there. So once they, and they show, then they can do, then they start. And it gets more, you know, proper. And then once that gets established, then, you know, more into the positive things can be pushed. But you start with the positive. Because you have to know why. That's why Prabhupada immediately is introducing the aspect of relationship with Krishna. But it's not about, you know, tasting the rasa. It's about, you have to know where you're going. What is the standard? You're trying to taste rasa here, you're not getting any satisfaction. But rasa with Krishna, that gives satisfaction. That's the nature of the soul. So it's talking sambandha jnana, even though he's talking about the rasas. Like that. But here, Lord Chaitanya was talking about here, Anjali Lila, this is the tasting of it. This is not the sambandha jnana of it. That was explained to Sanatana Goswami. Mm-hmm. But now this is tasting what he was talking about. So, yeah. 3:16-8-14. Kalidasa was an uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. So that means he's the brother of...
Yeah, Govardhan.
Govardhan was the father.
I think so.
Yeah, Govardhan is the father.
But then the other one was also his uncle.
Uncle, yeah.
So that means they were all brothers.
Yeah.
Maybe also. Mother's brother also.
Oh, could be, yeah, could be that,
yeah,
on the mother's side.
Like cousins and stuff.
Yeah, because he seems to be quite unique. Because on the father's side, they'd generally be more... doing things together. Be the mother's side is a different. It means is how do you say he's a relative, not family.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah. But you know, in the bigger things, most of the time it doesn't matter. But you know, you can make a distinction if you need so. Throughout his entire life, even in his old age, he tried to eat remnants of food left by Vaishnavas. Kalidasa ate the remnants of food of as many Vaishnavas as there were in Bengal. That's a credit, right? He would go to all the Vaishnavas born in Brahmana families, be they neophyte or advanced devotees, and present them with gifts of first-class eatables. He would beg remnants of food from such Vaishnavas, and if he did not receive any, he would hide. After the Vaishnavas finished eating, they would throw away their leaf dishes, and Kalidasa would come out of hiding, take the leaves, and lick up the remnants. He would also take gifts to the home of Vaishnavas born in Shudra families. Then he would hide in this manner, eat the remnants of food they threw away. So in other words, the Brahmas, he would go to them and ask for. If they gave, then nice. If they didn't, he would hide. But the Shudras, then they'll never give, right? Because like that, so therefore he just hides. So in this way, then. There was a great Vaishnava named Jarutakur who belonged to the Bhunimali caste. Footnote 18. The members of the Bhunimali caste are generally sweepers. Kalidas went to his home, taking mangoes with him. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks, both Kalidasa and Jarutakur are worshipped at a place called Sripatabhati in the village known as Bhedo or Baduya. This village is situated about 3 miles south of the village of Krishnapur, the birthplace of Raghunath Das Goswami, which is about 1 mile west of the Biandal junction of the Burdwan line. Wow.
Bandal.
Yeah, it's not just Bandal. Biandal. Wow.
Did you say Burdwan?
Burdwan is still
the Burdwan, Burdwan line. Oh, whether Biandal is in Burdwan, but it's the line that goes into
Burdwan.
Yes, no. Burdwan line goes to North India. Burdwan is Vardhaman, like from Biandal.
That side.
One comes to Navadvip, another one goes to Vardhaman.
Okay, because Navadvip is just this side. The other side of Navadvip, that's Burdwan.
Oh, not the Burdwan near Kolkata.
It's a big place. It goes up. It's a whole.
Any train you take to Delhi has to pass through.
Yeah, it goes through Burdwan.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a big place.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
It's a big junction.
Yeah. A post office there is named Devanandapura. Jadotakur used to worship the deity of Sri Madan Gopal. The deity is still worshipped by one Rama Prashad Dasa, who belongs to the Ramayat community. It is said that the deity worshipped by Kalidasa had been worshipped until now in the village of Shankya on the bank of the Saraswati River. But the deity has been taken away by a gentleman named Matilal Chattopadhyaya from the village of Triveni. The deity is now being worshipped at his place. 3:16-15-29. Kalidas presented the mangoes to Jarutakur and offered him respectful obeisances. Then he also offered respectful obeisances to the Thakur's wife. When Kalidas went to Jadu Thakur. He saw that saintly person sitting with his wife. As soon as Jadu Thakur saw Kalidas, he likewise offered his respectful obeisances unto him. After a discussion with Kalidas that lasted for some time, Jadu Thakur spoke the following sweet words: "I belong to a low caste, and you are a very respectable guest. How shall I serve you? If you will permit me, I shall send some food to a Brahmin's house, and there you may take prasadam. If you do so, I shall then live very comfortably." Kalidas replied, "My dear sir, please bestow your mercy upon me. I have come to see you. Although I am very fallen and sinful, simply by seeing you I have become purified. I am very much obliged to you, for my life is now successful. My dear sir, I have one desire. Please be merciful to me by kindly placing your feet upon my head so that the dust on your feet may touch it." Jadu Thakur replied, "It does not befit you to ask this of me. I belong to a very low caste family, whereas you are a respectable rich gentleman." Kalidas then recited some verses, which Jadu Thakur was very happy to hear. Even though one is a very learned scholar in Sanskrit literature, if he is not engaged in pure devotional service, he is not accepted as my devotee. But if someone born in a family of dog eaters is a pure devotee with no motives for enjoyment through fruit of activity and mental speculation, he is very dear to me. All respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. For such devotees are indeed as worshipable as I am. Footnote 19. This verse, spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is found in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 10.127. A person may be born in a Brahmin family and have all 12 brahminical qualities, but if in spite of being qualified he is not devoted to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who has a navel shaped like a lotus, he is not as good as a chandala, who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the service of the Lord. Simply to take birth in a Brahmin family or to have brahminical qualities is not sufficient. One must become a pure devotee of the Lord. If a swapacha or chandala is a devotee, he delivers not only himself but his whole family. Whereas a Brahmin, who is not a devotee, but simply has brahminical qualifications, cannot even purify himself, but to speak of his family. Footnote 20. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.10. "My dear Lord, anyone who always keeps your holy name on his tongue is greater than an initiated brahmana. Although he may be born in a family of dog eaters, and therefore, by material calculations, be the lowest of men, he is glorious nevertheless. That is the wonderful power of chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who chants the holy name is understood to have performed all kinds of austerities. He has studied all the Vedas. He has performed all the great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. And he has already taken his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. It is he who is factually the Aryan." 21. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.7. I guess the SS never came across this verse. No?
Meaning?
No.
Who never came across this verse?
The SS.
The SS as the...
Of course. Hearing these quotations from the revealed scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, Jadu Thakur replied, "Yes, this is true, for it is the version of Shastra. It is true, however, for one who is genuinely advanced in devotion to Krishna, such a position may benefit others, but I do not possess such spiritual power. I belong to a lower class and have not even a pinch of devotion to Krishna." Srila Prabhupada. In his statement, Jadu Thakur presents himself as being born in a low caste family and not having the qualifications of a bona fide devotee of Lord Krishna. He accepts his statements declaring a low born person highly exalted if he is a Vaishnava. However, he feels that these descriptions from Srimad Bhagavatam appropriately describe others, but not himself. Jadhav Thakur's attitude is quite befitting a real Vaishnava. For Vaishnava never considers himself exalted, even if he factually is. He is always meek and humble and never thinks that he is an advanced devotee. He assigns himself to a lower position, but that does not mean he is indeed low. Sanatana Goswami once said that he belonged to a low caste family, for although he was born in a Brahmin family, he had associated with mlechas and yavanas in his service as a government minister. Similarly, Jadhav Thakur presented himself as someone who belonged to a low caste, but he was actually elevated above many persons born in Brahmin families. Not only is there evidence for this in Srimad Bhagavatam, as quoted by Kalidas in verses 26 and 27, but there is also considerable evidence for this conclusion in other shastras. For example, in the Mahabharata Vanaparva 177.20, it is stated, Shudretu yad bhavel lakshma vijetach cha navidyate navai shudro bhavech chudro brahmano na cha brahmanaha. If someone born a Shudra possesses the characteristics of a Brahman, and someone born a Brahman does not, the Shudra should not be known as a Shudra, and that Brahman should not be known as a Brahmana. Similarly, in the Vanaparva 2:03-11-12, it is said, Shudra yonau hi jatasya shad gunanu patishtataha arjave vart tamanasya brahmanyam abhijayate. If a person born in a Shudra family has developed the qualities of a Brahmana, such as Satya, truthfulness, Sama, peacefulness, Dhamma, self-control, and Arjava, simplicity, he attains the exalted position of a Brahmana. And in the Anu Shasana Parva, chapter 163, it is said, Sito Brahmana Dharmena Brahmanyam Upajivati Kshatriyo Vata Vaishyova Brahma Bhuyasa Gacchati Ebhistu Karmabhir Devi Subher Acharitaistata Shudro Brahmanatam Yati Vaishya Kshatriyatam Vrajet Nayonir Napi Samskaro Nashutam Nachad Shantati Karanani Dvijatvasya Vritam Eva Tu Karanam. If one is factually situated in the occupation of a Brahmana, he must be considered a Brahmana, even if born in a Kshatriya or Vaishya family. O David, even if one is born a Shudra, if he is actually engaged in the occupation and pure behavior of a Brahmana, he becomes a Brahmana. Moreover, a Vaishya can become a Kshatriya. Therefore, neither the source of one's birth, nor his reformation, nor his education is the criterion of a Brahmana. The Vritta, or occupation, is the real standard by which one is known as a Brahmana. Right, so that's why I said, because it says neither education. So when one's being educated, however they're studying, however they're absorbing themselves, you're dealing with them there and training them accordingly. But it's only after they graduate from the school and then apply themselves, then you see what they actually choose. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because, you know, kids, they may, let's say, like, for example, really like music or really like puja, but it won't be their occupation. You know, and then when they graduate, then they'll apply themselves. So it's not dependent upon these. So you go through, means you've come from that background, you'll be trained in that way, but it's a matter of now, once you've been educated, what you do with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just like, let's say, the the Pandavas, they've gone through the educational system with Dronacharya. And for them, it's just their duties. Right? But for Karna, he's somehow or another gone through that. But for him, it's prestige. That's why they call him a Suta. That's why Bhishma and the Pandavas call him a Suta. Because his mentality is that of a Suta. It's about the prestige of the position, not about using it in the proper way. But you see, because actually his heritage is Kshatriya, he's able to do those, but you see he has that mentality. Though he could fight and he has that, and he always, when they want to do politics, he just wants to, you know, have a proper face-to-face fight, you know, that way. So they'll deal with him as a Kshatriya, but they know his mentality is not actually fully proper. You know, same with Ekalavya. It was a matter of prestige. It wasn't a matter of his duties. Like that. So that's then what you see is the education. Means, of course, you go through the proper education, but that's not the penalty. It's what you do with it afterwards. That's then how it's defined.
You're explaining here about the Vedic system, which is fine. You probably establish the first, second initiation, which is known as Brahma initiation.
Yes.
And then you said, you know, for 6 months, 1 year, you get Diksha, and 6 months later, you get Brahma initiation. Okay, that went on during Prabhupada's time, and then the body started waiting a bit longer, get a bit more training. To this day, I still don't understand how devotees can get recommendation on the basis of what. And all sorts of things come up. Well, he's been around for long enough, he should get second initiation. What are the standards? We don't know. Do they actually engage themselves in Brahmanical activities like deity worship or book distribution or preaching or cooking or been around for 4 or 5 years, you get second initiation done. So what are the Brahmanical qualifications?
Well, I mean, it's been mentioned here, some of them, you know, it's truthfulness, peacefulness, self-control, simplicity. Those aspects, you do have those qualities that are mentioned. But basically, for us, the main things you're seeing, steadiness, because Prabhupada's point was is that a good standard, you know, if you want to do is that they're steady in their devotional service. So the devotional practices, in other words, brahminical activities are there, but the essence of that is the Vaishnav, that they're being done in connection with Krishna. So they're steady in their chanting, they're steady in the service to the deity, steady in the consciousness, they're doing it for the deity. You can see is that, you know, the qualities of goodness are more prominent in their nature. Not necessarily the occupation, but their personal, you know, from the ashram side, you see that. You know, they might, you know, work down at Tesco's or something, but you see is commitment to the devotional activities and these kind of things, and it's always steady. They're not getting mental or this or up and down. Then that would be more the kind of aspect. Now that would be in general. Now if it's specific, now they're going to be doing, you know, the deity worship and like this, or like you said, the preaching or some other things like that. That would be then a further indication. But so if they're just so those would work, but at the same time it's Prabhupada's also indicated that they don't have that kind of nature. They don't need to get second initiation. There's no rush. First, you make that they're committed and that they want to, you know, take a shot at Krishna consciousness. Then that's there. They show that kind of steadiness, that basic kind of steadiness and willingness and all that. Then that first initiation is there. But second, it's not that everybody has to get second.
Everybody wants second.
Yes, but the point is what are you going to do with it? Just like, you know, everybody wants a Ferrari, but what are they going to do with it? You can't go shopping. Yeah, you know, so if it's just, you know, the thread, you know, it's like you said, you know, I don't know, it means before it was always 2 pice. I'm not sure what a Brahma thread costs these days.
5 rupees.
5 rupees. Yeah?
Yeah.
5 rupees, huh?
Yeah, 100 rupees for bundle and 100 rupees.
You know, you mentioned Tesco.
No, I mean, with this Tesco.
No, I mean, Chaturatma Prabhu, he works at some a place similar to Tesco that sells, you know, tools, you know, like these big, big molds.
He's not working at Tesco anymore?
I thought, maybe it's Tesco, I don't know.
He used to be at Tesco.
He is the best salesman, no one will let him go. But as soon as he gets home, he's got a puja and a mantra.
Yeah, yeah. He was, I mean, I don't know if he's still, but he was head pujari there at that lecture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that it pays the bills. It's something easy, and then you just go out, you know, you just, because he wants to spend his time doing, you know, these direct activities of deity worship and festivals and, you know, the samskaras and the yagyas, all these brahminical things. And so that's the important thing. And to do, to work like that at Tesco, what qualification does it take? You know, just so you're there, you're regular, you do what you're supposed to do. While others, and they, you know, they go to school, they do this, and they waste so much time. You want to do a BA. That's 10 hours a day for 3-4 years. While this, that 10 hours a day, he could have been doing his puja, you know, and other things like that. So then he just has to show up there, and it works. So in one sense, you can say, is that's more brahminical. While the other one is saying, no, I'm qualifying, I'm great, I'm educated. I'm like, yeah, but you're educated as a shudra. It's one thing, you're not a shudra, you're doing those kind of works because it pays the bill. But the other thing is then you're educating yourself as a shudra, and then have the pride that you're something special when you're still just a shudra. You know? So then...
So one of the swamis in India, he put a very simple rule. Anybody asked for second initiation, he would ask the president that how many days in a week he comes for deity service in temple. And if they don't come, no second initiation.
But yeah, that works very easy. Especially around here. Yeah. It's slightly different in the West because it's just enthusiasm. Yeah. But here it's like, they have said, they come from that. You know, that guy's parents or grandparents were worshipping, doing regular puja, going to the temple and all that, and he's, you know.
If you're too busy in your own job, is that
Yeah, like in the West, it's like someone wanted to join the temple, they just moved in. But in India, they wanted to join the temple. No, you come every day and show and do service and all that, and we see you for a month or something, and then after that, we see it's cool, then you move in. You know, because they can go home and everything's, you know, pleasant and nice, you know, like that. So, yeah, but it's just there, because Prabhupada made the point, if someone's not going to use it and all that, then, see, it's one thing, as if, like I mentioned the first thing, that steadiness and devotional service, the focus, you know, they take part in those things, they try to, you know, chant nicely, they try to read Prabhupada's books and all that, then that second initiation will have a validity there that will assist that. But if that's not the main focus and they're not doing deity worship, then what's it for? You know, it's just like always been around for so long. But yeah, so is, you know,
Yamala,
yeah, they've been around a while. You
since Treta Yuga, maybe.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time. And also, I think that tree in what was that place? The Ravana, Mahi Ravana, the underground one. There was a Devdaru tree there that was 4,000 years old, and it was planted just for when Hanuman would come after 4,000 years, so he had a weapon. You know, because Devdaru was the nicest tree. Really hard wood. You know, it's not like these other trees that you see that they, you know, they pick up and Bhima and the Rakshasa and they beat each other with it and it goes to pieces and now they have to rip up another tree. These ones then. I think, you know, he did well with that Devdaru tree.
I remember in Israel once Guru came. And he was given initiation, both first and second. And then he asked me to comment on the second initiation. What was the, you know, what is the standard? So I was just hearing from Srila Prabhupada's disciples how they describe what was, during their time, the qualification. And they said it was really simple. Mm. Three things. Mm. If you could cook, feast for the, you know, for the Sunday morning, Sunday program.
Mm-hmm.
If you could give class,
mm-hmm.
and if you could lead a kirtan,
mm-hmm.
then No problem. Green light.
Oh, that was for second.
Yeah, that was
for second. Oh, because our temple, they explained, that was for first.
And then...
I think earlier it was first, and then it later became second.
Yeah. And then, but nowadays, it's you need the Bhakti Shastri degree. Yeah, no, Bhakti Vaibhava is not required. And some guru, they go through a very, very elaborate process. And some, just by observing people, they just give. Yeah.
It means it's a mood. When the mood's there, then it's
free.
Proper. But if, when you're dealing on these very, very large volumes, then it may be, and you're not around, then you have to see, is that, you know, either the people you're working with, their mood, you trust that they know what you're looking for, or you have to make these systems.
Yes, system. Yeah, of course.
You know, it's like that one, I think, was Burijan would always try to avoid when he would go through certain, geographical regions north of the Volga. He would try to avoid, you know, getting involved. So I think one time he... when someone asks him for, you know, for initiation, he says, "Oh, sorry, you know, I can't give." He says, "Why not?" And he says, "My wife told me I can't give." You know, so right there is, oh, attached to your husband, so they just drop it, right? You know. And then another time he was telling someone, he said, "Please, please," and he said, "No, no, no." He said, "Please, please, no." He says, "When? Never." You know, and then somebody else is harassing for so long, and finally says, "Okay, if after 40 years you're still, you know, focused and that, still that, then I'll initiate you." Then the first guy goes, "What? You told me never. You told him 40 years. Why don't I get 40 year, you know, 40 year option?" You know, so. Yeah, so I mean, it's going to be, because you have the aspect that has to be that the nature of the spiritual master and the nature of the you know, the prospective disciple are similar, that you can relate to how it's being spoken, you know, how it's the practice and things like that. And so if that matches, then that's very good. That would be very much part of the process. And then if it's up to that maturity, therefore you see some will it'll be more informal, some will be very formal. But then those who want very formal, then that's also their nature, and then those people that appreciate formality, then they'll come.
But the period is very short. You really can't tell what the person's going to be like.
But
10 years, 20 years.
No, but the point is you go by what's happening right now. Because you, at this point comes that verse from Bhagavatam, is that if someone, you know, does devotional service, but, you know, let's say if someone gives up their occupational duty and to take up devotional service and then falls down, what does he lose? And someone else who perfectly did his occupational duty, what does he gain? So the point is, since devotional service is the point of the material world, it's been created just for to bring the living entity to that position, that them taking it up and all that. But you have to be confident that they really, it's sincere, it doesn't have some other obvious motive and all that. And so therefore then they're able to take part. And if they make it for, you know, this lifetime, go back to Godhead, then that's ideal. And if they don't, they'll continue either later this life, you know, or next life. You know, so it's always worthwhile, but at the same time, you should be confident. You know, so both are confident. You know, then you give it your best shot. How long it goes, and so. Yeah, so therefore neither the source of one's birth nor his reformation, right? So what family you're born in, whether he's gone through the samskaras or not, or his education is the criterion of Brahman. Though a Brahman would go through all that, but just because he's gone through that doesn't necessarily make him a Brahman, because he may, you see the occupation like that. So yeah. the vritta or the occupation is a real standard by which one is known as a brahmana, right? So in other words, that's the main point. We have seen that occupation here, because we see there one could say, okay, well, what about that example we were having before, the Tesco Walla? So then it's going to be, but his occupation was that of head pujari and doing those things and that. This was just a way to maintain the family. So I even think it was a part-time. It wasn't a full day. He would do a half day or something. You know, because he has to do the morning program, and then he'd go do something and then come back. And so that, and he lived very simply, so it wasn't a big deal, you know, because, I mean, how much do you need if you're doing puja all day, you know, so.
But he's such a good servant, that he go off for Kartik, that he go off for fasting, because he's so good, they don't want to lose him, so it's pretty much his conditions.
Yeah, well, that's just Krishna's taking care.
He just charms everybody.
People
don't care for
people
the
people want to buy power tools, you have the mercy of God and the what's that?
You want that. That's a good one. Yeah, no, he's very far out. Very enthusiastic. He's always been. I remember, I think it was in the 70s. The 80s. He was in Vrindavan. Pujari. He was always there, and then until he went back to America, continued there. So he's always been involved in the deity worship. So that's there, but you see, is that, you know, someone's working on the railroad, you know. You know, you're always seeing the, I would say, Brivedi, Trivedi, Chaturvedi, and, you know, they're coming around collecting tickets. Now, if at his home he's doing all the pujas, doing everything like that, but it's the only way, you know, to take care, okay, that it's not ideal. But if he's not doing all those pujas, then technically he's not a Brahmin. You know, he may be pleasant, may be nice, may be something knowledgeable, but, you know, how serious is that? Yeah. So you have to, it's individual like that. But for us, the Daivavarna Ashram means how you're engaging everything in Krishna's service. That's the thing. That's the whole point that you're looking at, how it's being connected to Krishna. That's what makes the daiva. So that's why it doesn't matter where it is. It means varnashram isn't accepted because no one wants to be the shudra. Mm. Right? Does that make sense? And generally it's only someone with that mentality wouldn't want to be known as the shudra. Right? Vaishyas, they're quite happy saying I'm a Vaishya. Kshatriyas are quite happy with that. Brahmins are quite happy with that. You know, even though they may be, you know, a hierarchy, but Shudras have a tendency to avoid. I can only remember like one or two devotees mentioning how in a conversation, you know, in discussion, they just directly say, I'm a Shudra. And they're doing that service, but they're the best at it. And sometimes even the most respectable person, one of the most respectable in the community. Because they're doing their duty very nicely, they're accepting, they're not trying to, there's nothing else. And so then that works. So generally that's where it comes up from, is that no one wants to be the shudra and no one wants to be regulated. I want to be able to do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, wherever I see an opportunity to get benefit. Therefore, varnashram restricts to that you have the qualifications, you do it. At the same time as we're saying, about, oh, unless you've done this degree, you can't do this, unless you've done that. But then why not follow varnashram?
Who doesn't want to be a shudra within daily varnashram? It's ecstatic.
But the point is who, if you don't understand daiva varnashram, what it is, therefore, that means they'll look at the downside of, means it's like this. If you go to school, you read about India, then you have the caste system and all the atrocities that happen and this and that. Right. But then if you're going to go with that, then no one would, you know, everyone across the Pacific, because, and the Atlantic, because they were slave wallahs. So was all of Europe. So was Africa. Slavery, having black people as slaves is an African thing. It's not that the Africans were there living this wonderful life of equality and then the Europeans showed up and made them slaves. No. The Europeans found out about, well, it's actually the Middle East came across it, that the Africans have this slave trade, and so then they thought, okay, that's cool. Then they started getting, and then from there it went into Europe. So the system of slave trade and all that was an African thing. It wasn't a European thing. It was an African thing.
Not so long.
Yeah, I mean, it spread. So this whole thing is that, you know, somehow or another it's that and it's just the white. And no, it was going on for thousands of years before the white men even knew about it. You know, they were. So that's the thing is that it's you look at these things so it becomes politicized rather than looking at it. No, it's a social system that includes political, includes economics, includes the socialism, includes the intellectual. And it includes all the family aspects. So it's a complete system. It's a human system. It's not looked at from that point. And that daiva means you're using for Krishna. So it's useful for service to Krishna that you use. But this mode of goodness means you have knowledge, you're regular, you do those things. That's the criteria, not I don't feel like it, therefore I don't do it. That's passion and ignorance. If it's too much trouble and you give it up, that's passion. You don't understand it and give it up, that's ignorance. So just to say, oh, we reject it because, you know, this, that, that's the mode of ignorance. If it's like, oh, it's too much trouble, it's too hard, who can do that? That's the mode of passion. So it's not being avoided from the mode of goodness. So that's what I'm saying. It's not coming from that kind of angle. You know, at the same time, it's not about the rules and regulations of it. It's just that's what rules. It's just like cooking. It has rules, but cooking's not about the rules. It's about, you know, the cooking and, you know, who you're cooking for and what you're going to do and the tastes and the experiences that people will get from that. But the technique of it is there. So the same way, varnashram is just there because it gives certain effects. It maintains the body. It takes care. You know, everyone talks about economics and community and that, but at the same time, it's no one wants to talk about varnashram. That's like saying, you know, yeah, cooking's good. We should good like this, but we're anti kitchens. It's like we're dealing with literally that kind of logic. You know. That's the sad part. Because otherwise it's just standard stuff. I mean, you talk to anyone who's not completely, politically, off the deep end. Any administrator understands. You talk about varnashram and the scientific and how it works and what the relation like that. They understand it. Because it's right there. It's Krishna's system. It's going on now. If I say yes, in the community, you mean in the social environment, you have intellectuals. No one's going to say no. There's no intellectuals. We're all the same. Why are you saying they're intellectuals? You're saying we're stupid. No. Are you saying there's administrators? Of course. There's the business or economic community. They're not going to say no. And then there's people, they work, they have their jobs, they, you know, they do like that, they have the livelihood. No one's going to say no. And they have some breakdowns within that, but those four, that's just... Then you say there's unmarried people, and they're training themselves in education, then there's those who then are married, and then, you know, having their occupation, and those who are retired, and then you might have a few here and there that might be a monk or something like that. You know, if there are monks, it's not out of the... idea, though it may not be well practiced. And then how much restrictions in there in each and who does what and what's the relationship, who's on, you know, what's that, that they don't get into. But it's kind of understood that the intellectual is supposed to be free and not controlled by anybody. The administration, that controls the overall. Economics has to work within that context and within the context of the intellectual kind of proceed. And then the guys at work have to work under everybody else. I mean, it's how it's been working since time in Krishna's system. It's just not scientific. So it's like, it's just a matter of how do we make it work for us as devotees. You know, and how to not be dogmatic about it or you know, smartest about it, you know. So therefore, then, as we were talking about, the Hedajari is not a Shudra. Right? It means that as a Brahmin, why isn't that community, which is supposed to be one of the biggest communities in the West, why can't he as a Brahmin maintain himself? So that's a community fault.
Well, the system now is the brahmanas, because there, before there was no congregation, there was just ashram devotees. Now you have a congregation. The congregation contributes to the temple, and the temple pays the brahmanas.
Okay, well, that's good. Then that's good. But before it would be there's 1,500 people there, but everyone just does their own thing. And they call it a community, but, you know, hey, 30 people come to the program.
Still
like that. Yeah, okay. Well, before it was 1,500 and 30 came. Now it's still 30, and I think there's over 2,000, though. But, you know, so those kind of things, why is that? And so, well, we're all Brahmins, but the point is are you maintaining yourself? Is that what you're doing? Is that your full service? Oh, we're all devotees. So thing is, yes, we're all devotees, but how are you maintaining your body? You know, your body is what it is. You know, does your body have two arms or four arms? Or six or eight? You know, how many arms do you have? Millipede's got, you know, how you say, you know, thousands of them, you know. Centipede has 100, you know. How many do you got? Two. Okay, so therefore, what can you do? How many legs you got? You know, how many heads you got? Brahma's got four. He runs the universe. How many you got? Okay, so you can't run the universe. You only got one. You know, but you could qualify possibly to manage the universe. Indra has only got one head, but he does have 1,000 eyes, so he can see a lot more than others can see. So these kind of things, it just goes there. If you say, okay, well, you know, who should do this? Oh, but he doesn't have a degree in that. And it says, why are you bringing that up? We're all Vaishnavas. What does that got to do with that? So that's the thing. Varnashram classification, that's Maya, but modern academic by the intellectuals who can't understand Krishna, somehow that's a viable system for us? Why would their classification be not Maya, though they're totally in Maya? And Daiva Varnashram, which is used by the Acharyas who are not in Maya, oh, that's bodily consciousness. So these are samskaras. These are issues. These aren't just a lack of training or knowledge, because Prabhupada talks about it practically every other, you know, here we're talking about it right now. And this is Antilila. So it's like practically every second, third purport is talking about Varnashram. All the Acharyas talk about it. Everybody mentions it.
My thinking, Maharaj, is maybe the reason why it's been so difficult to implement Varnashram is because we depend on the manpower that comes to Krishna consciousness, who are identified as community members, and then we try to put them into these boxes of varnas and ashram. And it doesn't work because they don't want to have a different identity than I am first, second initiated, I'm a brahmana, and I'm not meant to be doing this and this and this. That's one point I want to make.
Okay.
I've been thinking a lot about this. But if you look at the principle of every town and village, you have a temple, and then you have all the villages all around.
Mm.
You have your shudras, you've got your intellectuals, you've got your brahmins, you've got your kshatriyas, they're all sitting at home. All you have to do is go to them and put Krishna in their homes.
Right, yeah, of course.
So they continue doing their activities in the varnashram, but now they have Krishna in their lives.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
So why tax the brain to try to, in ISKCON, it's already there.
It's already there. Even in ISKCON, it's already there. Just no one wants to recognize it because, like I said, no one wants to be a shudra.
I want to be a shudra.
You know, because the point of that. yeah, what is it? It's like that. What do you call it? I'm Spartacus. I would be a shudra. Everybody's saying, okay.
For Christmas, you get the, you know, the.
Yeah,
I'm a cowboy. Yeah. I want to do a shudra for Christmas.
Okay, I'm so, how are you dressing up for Halloween? I'm going to be a shudra.
It's not Christmas, actually.
I got a package of garbage bags for Christmas.
It's Purim.
Purim.
You mix the thing. Yeah. It's Purim is when everybody, it's like a carnival.
Everyone dresses up. Okay.
Okay, what Christmas?
history than I am.
Yeah, we have a tradition.
Yeah, so, but the thing is okay, Brahman, then act as a Brahman. Look at it from a Brahminical point of view. That's fine. Vaishnavas are, see, by ashram, everybody's is Brahman. Ashram, there is no Shudra ashram. There's Brahminical ashram. Mm-hmm. Now, whether you're doing those duties or not, it'll look like it'll have that flavor. But the point is your occupation is simply, those four are on this side. Because we're accepting five out of eight, but we won't accept the three.
Right.
You know, because it also seems to, oh, we don't get full opportunities. I want to have last say in everything because I'm so fabulous as the Brahman. I want to have complete control over everything because I'm the Kshatriya. I want to have complete control over all the money because I'm the Vaishya. And I want to have the freedom and all that and kick back and have everyone take care of me because I'm the Shudra. So we want all the seeming benefits of all that and none of the responsibilities. So this is a disease. The modern disease is everyone talks about their rights. Who talks about the obligations? People's rights, government's obligations. Yeah. And even nowadays, the government talks about, you know, yeah, everybody else's obligations. Mm. They don't talk about what they're supposed to do. So it's all just gone to that point. It's self-centered, and it's about what everybody else should do to make me happy.
Therefore, John F. Kennedy, don't ask what your country can do for you.
Ask what you can do for your country. Don't ask what Krishna consciousness can do for you. Ask what you can do for Krishna consciousness. Yeah, no, that was a good one. That one and what an I Am Berliner, that's probably the most well-known. You have to say it in German.
Which one?
I Am a Berliner.
Oh.
Ich bin Berliner or something like that. He gave a big speech in Berlin. Like that. Yeah. It was very famous.
Yeah, he did say that. That's true.
Yeah. It was brought down the house. Yeah, it was like it really went down well. Yeah, so you know, The point is that, okay, Brahminical, then that should be the values. The values should be on that, not on all these modern things and economic things and all that. That you focus on Krishna, Krishna will take care. But at the same time, as people someone who's good in administration, they should be involved in that. But you have to remember, administration is not the top. You know? And yes, you may be an academic with a degree, but modern academic degrees don't put you on the top in the Vedic literature. Mm. You know, just because you know, whatever it is you know nicely doesn't mean you know Krishna consciousness. I mean, I've heard one of our quantum physics guys talking straight up front about Buddhism. Straight up front Buddhism. But he doesn't know it. Because he knows that so well. Yeah, you know, it's there, and there's, you know, like that, you know, how many microphones are there? You know, go, yeah, there's one microphone. No, there's unlimited microphones. Depending on how, you know, you see it that, everyone perceives it differently and this and that, but then they're the ones talking about hard science. But this is their philosophy, that it's all the mind and all that, but they don't accept the mind, they don't accept those things. Completely, you know, that Buddhism is, I say it's a mic, it's a mic. I don't say it's not a mic, it's not a mic. It's all illusion anyway. So, you know, like that. So it's just, they don't know. In their field, they're very respected, but within Krishna consciousness, what's the difference? You know, it's just like, you know, it's like that school in Vienna. You know, you want to learn violin? Have you had lessons before? No, okay. You know, this much per month. You know, have you had that? Oh, yes, you know, we studied for 3 years from this guy, that guy. Okay, it's five times the price. They said, why? You know, I've learned so much. Why is it he gets for, you know, 100, I'm 500? Like that, because he will start teaching him actually what we want to teach. Him, it'll take us 5 years to get all this stuff out of his head that he thinks he knows and so we can teach him what we want to teach him. So that's the thing. He'll think he's superior because he is a PhD in a hard science. You know, it's just like they'll be sitting at the front at the graduation, and all the Indologists will be sitting at the back of the bus. Mm-hmm. Literally. That's just the way it is in all the universities. Quantum is in the front, Indology is in the back. Just the way it is. They even have different robes and that, you know, higher and all that. And so.
The literature guys, if they make it.
They're sitting behind the curtain. Right? So how many times does it say that you can't, we just read this morning, you can't know by your modern thing, you can't know. But they take it, I know because I'm so smart, so I read this, I know. It's whatever I think it is, that's what it is. Buddhism. You know, you have to follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas. So they say this, that's what it is.
They're
wrong Acharyas, but
Rupa Goswami says Buddha came and he mentions specific purpose. He says in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Upadharma. He doesn't preach it Dharma, it's Upadharma.
It's Upadharma.
It's sub-religious.
Yeah, it's sub-religious. It's for making good social, because they're killing the animals, they're violent like that, they're trying to make them pleasant. And so therefore generally Buddhist cultures, they tend to be more peaceful and like that. You know, that's that Prabhupada said, that's how the Moguls got into India because the Kshatriyas became nonviolent, so mm. then they just walked mm. in. Mm.
They took advantage.
Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, I mean, if Alexander could only get to the outskirts and then gave up and went back, then, you know, these other guys didn't stand a chance, you know.
They couldn't get to the Spartan, yeah.
No.